بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. Inshallah, let me summarize what we have done in the previous lesson or two. We said that at the end of the 8th Hijri year, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was granted a son from Lady Maria, and his name was Ibrahim. He was born at the end of the 8th year, and this son, however, did not live long. He lived for a period of 18 months, a year and a half, and then died in the 10th year of Hijrah. We also mentioned in our previous lessons that some of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned the Prophet putting his honorable hand on the eye of Qatada, putting it back into its socket and healing it. Also, we mentioned the springing of the water from between the fingers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from which 1500 soldiers or Muslims, you know, drank and made wudu and filled the canteens. Also, we mentioned the mourning of the trunk. We said the Prophet alaihi salam used to give a speech leaning on a palm tree trunk, and then when the minbar was built for him and he moved away from the trunk moaned in missing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet embraced the trunk until the trunk calmed down. Also, we mentioned the miracle of the wolf speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the shepherd, and also the miracle of the camel's complaint against its owner being overworked and underfed. So those were some of the miracles that we mentioned in the latest lessons. Also, we mentioned that the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam requested of the Prophet more of their worldly matters, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet an ayah in which the wives were given the choice either to be divorced or to be still remain the wives of the Prophet while accepting what the Prophet alayhi salam was providing them, and then all of them agreed to remain the wives and accept what the Prophet, to be content with what the Prophet was providing for them. And lastly, we mentioned in the 9th year of Hijrah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam ordered the preparation of an army to counter the plans of the Romans of invading the Muslims in Arabia. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam ordered that such an army be prepared. And inshallah today we will continue from this point. So we are in the 9th year of Hijrah. So this preparation for the army took place during a time of drought and intense heat. In spite of that, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam ordered the preparation for the fight. He urged the rich Muslims to equip the deprived. Remember that the army was an army of volunteers. They were not like salary paid soldiers. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam urged the rich Muslims to equip, to help, to give the deprived Muslims who want to go out in the army to help them have their needs. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu spent a huge sum of money which was not equaled by any other. He took upon himself the costs of 300 men, just 300 men with their, you know, animals and their, you know, food and their weapons. So he said, 300 of those are mine. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu brought all of his wealth and gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab brought half of his wealth and donated it for the campaign. Al-Abbas radiyallahu anhu, Talha, Al-Khair brought a great deal of money. The women gave away all of their jewelry they could afford to give in helping this campaign. When the people gathered, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had an army of 30,000 foot soldiers, infantry, and he had 10,000 horsemen, people on mounted on horses. So you could see the numbers are much, much more than in the previous cases, which tells you that how many people embraced Islam, went into Islam, they went into large groups. So 30,000 infantry and 10,000 horsemen. Now the hypocrites gave the Prophet excuses of why they would not go. They came and they started saying, oh, we cannot go because our homes are in danger. They brought up a lot of excuses, several excuses that were not acceptable. On the other hand, three Muslim men who were not hypocrites, they were good Muslims, did not go although they were able. So you have the army left Al-Madinah, and the hypocrites before the army left, they brought excuses and they did not go out with the army. But all the Muslims that were able, supposedly, and the Prophet approved of their joining the army, they went out with the army, with the exception of three good Muslims who were able to go, but they did not go. They got, you know, busy with certain things that they should not have. So their case, the case of these three Muslims, their case is mentioned in Al-Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 118. Allah revealed, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So the ayah talks about those three people who did not go with the army, and they did not have an excuse. So when the Prophet ﷺ returned, he ordered the Muslims to boycott them, not to talk to them, not to initiate salam to them, not to return their salam. So even one of them was an older person, and he told the wife of this person not to let her husband approach her. But because he was an older man, he told her she could serve him because he needs somebody to take care of him. But other than that, he could not enjoy her and so on. So these three people were boycotted by the Muslims upon the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this happened, I think about 40 days, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that he accepted their repentance, and then the Muslims, you know, the boycott was lifted off, and they came, they were very thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a long hadith about their story in Riyad al-Saliheen that would be good, inshallah, in another lesson to talk about. Additionally, there were other men. So you have those who left with the Prophet, and the army was equipped because of the generous donation of these great companions like Uthman and Abu Bakr and Umar and Talha, Al-Abbas and so on. You have the women who provided for the army by giving away their jewelry. And then you have the hypocrites who made excuses not to join the army. You have those three men who were able, but they were not excused for not going. And then you have now, there were other men who were so eager to go, but there were not enough supplies to include them. You have those, you know, 30,000 plus 10,000, you have, you know, a large army needs a lot of food, a lot of, you know, equipment. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not find what can equip them, bring them into the army. So they were left behind, although they were very eager to go. And they wept out of missing, of not being able to go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their case in the same surah, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 92. Allah said about them,
وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ.
Now, the great warrior Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu was appointed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay in Medina to take care of the Prophet's family. So Ali was the warrior, was left in Al-Madinah to take care of the Prophet's family. Ali had always, of course, as you already know, participated in the battles. The hypocrites taunted him about staying behind. They said to him that the Prophet did not like him, that's why he left him behind. And they told him, just like, you'll be left behind like women. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ali came and, you know, complained about those statements said about him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam comforted him, he consoled him by telling him, are you not pleased? Ala tarda. Are you not pleased to be in the same status with me as Harun was with Musa, except that there is no prophet after me? He told him, أَلَا تَرْضَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. So he told him, aren't you pleased to be with respect to me in the status, in the same place that Musa was to his, Harun was to his brother Musa? However, there is no prophet after me. What it means that while Musa alayhi salam went to receive the Torah, his brother Harun, Aaron, looked after Musa's people, after the children of Israel. Our Islamic scholars use this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى. They say this statement of the Prophet, غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. to confirm that there will never be a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There will not come a prophet during his lifetime, and there will not come a prophet after the death of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how do we know that? We know that Harun was a prophet and Musa was a prophet. Harun died before Musa. Musa outlived Harun. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not saying that Ali...
The Prophet did not say that Ali will be a prophet after Muhammad.
Or Ali would be a successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Because if you look at the analogy that the Prophet draw, that Musa and Harun, Ali and the Prophet, he was talking about him that Musa left his brother Harun behind to take care of things. And Muhammad is leaving Ali behind to take care of things. He's not telling him you are going to be prophet like Harun was, because Harun died before Musa and Ali died after the prophet. So the analogy is not about being a prophet, it's about leaving Ali behind like leaving Harun behind to take the affairs of the people in town. So there is no basis for some claims that Ali was a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, in order to confuse the enemy, his habit was not to take a direct route to the enemy. He would just take different route. However, in this attack, in this campaign against the Romans, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam took a direct route towards the enemy. He did not take like other routes, indirect routes or routes, because the distance to the enemy was very long, and also because of the weather conditions, it was very hot that time of the year. And this army that went out was called the army of hardship, Jayshul Usra, the army of hardship, due to the fact that three men would take turns riding one camel, and food and water were scarce. One of the many miracles the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given during this campaign, that some of the army came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam asking if they could slaughter some of their camels and eat them, because they felt hungry. The Prophet alayhi salam gave the permission, said, yes, you can slaughter the camel and eat their meat. But before they did that, before they carried out the orders of the Prophet, our master Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu made a suggestion. He said, if you allow them, means if you allow them to slaughter camels at, you know, will, to use them for food, then we will have no camels or fewer animals to ride. Camels are used for riding. So if these people start slaughtering camels for food, there will be fewer animals to ride. O Messenger of Allah, so he addressed the Prophet, have the people bring their bits of food and you ask God to bless the food. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, in ud'u al-nasa bifadli azwadi. So ask, order these people to bring the foods that they have, the bits of food they have, and they will be collected in front of you, and you, O Messenger of Allah, will make dua, will ask Allah, you will make a supplication, asking Allah to have a blessing on the food, to bless the food, to make it grow in quantity. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam agreed to the suggestion of Umar radiallahu anhu. A piece of skin of leather was spread on the ground, and on it the Prophet had them place their food, which was very little, a handful of corn, dates and bread. So that was collected on the skin, the leather. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told the companions to take from the food and fill their containers. So after they collected they brought that food and was collected on the leather or on that skin. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام ordered the companions to start taking from that food, those little food, and fill their containers. All the containers in the camp were filled with that food. They ate their fill and there was food left over. Praise be to Allah. So that was one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The army passed by the city where once lived the tribe of Thamud, the tribe of Prophet Salih radiallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember Prophet Salih, his people Thamud refused to believe and then Allah destroyed them, so their land was destroyed. So the Prophet passed by that land and he ordered the soldiers not to go within the houses, into the houses of these people. He forbade his soldiers from entering those houses that the blasphemous Thamud had carved out of stone. They built their homes in mountains. They carved them out. And it's mentioned in the Hadith and in the Quran. When the army was in great need of water, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah for help. And a great rain cloud came by God's will. That cloud supplied the army with the water they needed. The Muslim army arrived in the city of Tabuk. So the army arrived to that city. There they set up their camp. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the soldiers with blessed, encouraging words. The news of the Muslim army reached the Romans. Feeling terror in their hearts, the Romans chose not to fight the Muslims. And this happened before, remember, in the battle of the trench of the allied factions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, threw the terror in the hearts of the army, the enemy, and no fighting took place. The Muslims were victorious without fighting. So the Romans chose not to meet the Muslim army in Tabuk. Some of the cities of the area came under the control of the Muslims. They paid the jizya to the Muslim state and in turn they were protected. The jizya is payment by the non-Muslims to the Muslim state. By paying that jizya, this amount of money, the non-Muslims can live in the Muslim state and would receive protection. The army returned to Medina without a bloody fight, without any, you know, losses during fight. But they came out with what? Came back with a great triumph. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Al-Madinah, means leading the army back, in Ramadan of the 9th Hijri year. And this expedition, this campaign, took 50 days in total, means going round trip. Coming out of Medina and returning to Al-Madinah, that campaign lasted 50 days in total. And this campaign was the last major campaign that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led. So, you know that the battles took place. Badr took place in the 2nd Hijri year, Uhud in the 3rd Hijri year, Al-Hudaybiyah, Al-Khandaq in 4th year of Hijrah, Hudaybiyah the 6th, Khaybar the 7th, Mu'ta, Mecca and Hunayn, those three battles took place during the 8th year, and then Tabuk during the 9th Hijri year. The author said, events upon the return from Tabuk. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said he returned from Tabuk to Medina with his large army. The pious Muslims who had been left behind were joyous to see their return and to hear of their success. So when the army came back, it was received with happiness. The people who were behind, they enjoyed, they were joyous that the Muslims were, you know, victorious without losses. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam told his army, certainly in Medina there are people who, whenever you crossed a valley, as if they were with you. The only thing that kept them from the army was their valid excuse. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was during his campaign, he told his soldiers that there were people in Al-Madinah who were eager to join you, but they did not come with you because they had a valid excuse. And we know from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that a person who is serious about doing a good deed but could not do it, then will be given a reward similar to the one who did it. It's not the same, equal to it, but will be given a reward for wishing or intending to do that good deed. Now, although there were so many good Muslims in Medina, the community was still bothered by some hypocrites. The hypocrites came forward to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, making their excuses for why they did not go to Tabuk. First, they made excuses for not joining the army. Now, when the army came back victorious, they made excuses for not having gone with the army. And of course, they were wishing that the Muslims would lose the battle, but to their surprise, it was a good victory. Now, in this 9th Hijri year, an event occurred affecting those hypocrites. Something happened that affected this group of hypocrites. Their leader, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, died. The leader of the hypocrites died. When he died, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not have proof that he was not a Muslim. Remember, we said hypocrisy is of two kinds. There are hypocrites who are Muslims, but they lie, they break their promises. When they fight with Muslims, they curse them out. So those are acts that show that their belief, their faith is not complete, is not perfect. And there are hypocrites who are non-Muslims. In their heart, they don't believe in Islam, they hate Islam, and outwardly they show that they were Muslims. So these are really non-Muslims. So we're talking about the hypocrites who are not Muslims. Abdullah ibn Ubay was their leader, and he died during the 9th year of Hijrah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not have a proof that he was not a Muslim. It means in many instances, when Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul's case was brought, that he was accused of doing this and doing that, he would say, no, they are fabricating things against me. And he would say the Shahada and would act as a Muslim. So he would be treated with his apparent, you know, condition as a Muslim. And the Prophet believed that this man apparently was a Muslim, so he treated him as such. So every time a Muslim from the community would hear blasphemy from him, from Abdullah ibn Ubay, he would deny that he said that. He would profess the Shahada and pray with the Muslims. Even, look how cunning he was. Even on his deathbed, he asked for a piece of our Prophet's clothing. He indicated that he wished he would be shrouded with it and seeking the blessings of God by this clothing. So he asked for a piece of Prophet's clothing to be shrouded with the intention, he said, to have blessings from God by it. So to the last moment, he was showing outwardly that he was Muslim. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as per his teachings, he treated him according to his apparent condition. We do not, you know, look and, you know, suspicious about people and say, we know they're Muslim, but maybe they are not. Islamically, we do not judge people upon suspicion. So, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, prayed the funeral prayer for him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed the funeral prayer for him because apparently he was a Muslim. After he did that, after the Prophet, you know, had prayed this funeral prayer for this leader of the hypocrites, Allah revealed to him that this Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the hypocrites, did not die as a Muslim. Instead, he died as a hypocrite. And he will be in hellfire forever. Allah revealed in verse 84 of the same surah, At-Tawbah, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. The ayah says that do not pray for any one of them. Do not stand at their grave. They have died as blasphemers. They died as blasphemers. Referring to this man, Abdullah ibn Ubay, and of course his life of the hypocrites. So after that revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never made a dua for this man, never asked Allah to forgive this dead hypocrite. So it is very important that we remember that the Prophet did pray for this man after his death, because the Prophet did not believe otherwise, did not believe that he was a kafir. The Prophet dealt with him according to his apparent condition. After the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam received the revelation of his real condition, that he was, he died as a blasphemer, he did not do any dua of forgiveness for him. Now, after the return from Tabuk, many tribes came to the Prophet embracing Islam. When the time of Hajj drew near that year, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam sent Abu Bakr to lead the Hajj actions. After Abu Bakr left, some verses were revealed, and our Prophet sent Ali to go with Abu Bakr to inform the people of these new verses. In these new verses, Allah informed those who still worship idols that they had 4 months of safety. They have 4 months of safety, after which they had no assurance of safety unless they became Muslims. So Allah revealed in Al-Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, at the beginning of the surah, that these people will have 4 months of safety, those idol worshippers, after which they will have no safety unless, of course, they embrace Islam. So our Prophet alayhi salam ordered Abu Bakr to proclaim at Hajj that after that year, no blasphemers could come to perform Hajj. Also, a person could no longer perform tawaf naked. Remember, the people of the ignorance era used to make go around Al-Kaaba naked, and also they use a clap and whistle. So after that year, the 9th year of Hijrah, Abu Bakr led the Hajj upon the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was ordered to tell the idol worshippers that they have a 4 month period of safety, after which their safety is not guaranteed unless they become Muslim. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered that no blasphemer could go into the area of Mecca, Masjid al-Haram, and nobody is allowed to make tawaf naked around Al-Kaaba. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with our chapter, which is coming to an end. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم